This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I know. We're going to have Mackenzie in here by the end of the show. A Braves reporter got digits online, and there is a, or on the air, and a lot of people are very upset about that.
Yeah, we gotta find out if there needs to be true outrage or yes. We can just have some fun over this.
Yes, so we'll see if there's real outrage or if we're going to do fake outrage coming up here at around 9:40. We got Brian Hoyer going to join us at 901-216-474-0092. Emmanuel Clase, we talked about him quickly yesterday. Should have spent a little bit more time on it, or could have spent a little bit more time on it, but still they're playing tonight against the Orioles. You're one game back. If I'm not mistaken, I want to make sure we're still where we were at the beginning of last night. All right, you're 1.5 games back of the Tigers because you didn't play yesterday. Tigers won yesterday. 8-7 overall. At what point do you start to actually, I think that a lot of people are considering, what's the end game with Emmanuel Clase now? So you're already considering it. Whether you like to admit it or not, you're considering when you pull the plug
yes.
on Emmanuel Clase. When do you actually pull the plug on Emmanuel Clase is the question.
How bad does it need to be? How much does it need to impact winning and losing? Because like we brought up yesterday, miraculously, how many teams in this situation have a closer who can't find it, has struggled the way he has, and yet you've won 6 of the 7 or 5 of the 6?
You're 6-1.
6-1.
With appearances with Emmanuel Clase.
It's not that he can't find it. He's putting it right in the middle of the
zone.
Well,
I think that's the bastard of
velocity. He didn't lose his pitches.
Well, it's
he's just spotting
yes,
horribly.
It's not like he's walking everybody. Like with Joe Borowski, I feel like the moment he went out there, people were like, okay, I need a carton of smokes. For Emmanuel Clase, it's the damnedest thing because you're still hitting the zone.
If anything, still you're throwing 100.
Too much, and you're still throwing 100 miles an hour. So what's the disconnect here? So when I hear Carl Willis say what he says, I know we all roll our eyes, but it's like, well, he's got a point. Like, yeah, if he says that he's that good still, and it's something they just need to work through, and meanwhile, he's getting hit around. If the velocity's still there, and he's still pounding the zone, what does he have to do to change? I think what Austin Hedges said a couple of weeks ago is still the truth, is that guys adjust. He's been through the league. You're out there for an inning at a time, for the most part. So you can a little bit. There's a little bit of peekaboo there, but they get the scouting reports on it. And then guys have personal experience with you. Well, he's been the closer for the Guardians now, what, 3 years? 3 years, Emmanuel Clase has been the closer for the Guardians. If you're a veteran hitter at all, you've probably seen him, at least in the American League. So if you've ran into Emmanuel Clase before, you kind of know what to expect.
Well, for a lot of guys,
they're still going to be sitting dead red on 101 that's right down the zone.
Sure, we thought that just his power, the way that he can just overpower you, you know, coming in at the end of games with that kind of pressure, like that's the stuff that made you think that, man, he can do this for a while. There's no reason that this is going to end. But then the confidence part of it, which is enormous, obviously for any pitcher, but especially a closer that's going to be relied upon, like the Guardians rely on their closer, whether it was Tito and now Vogt, like, holy cow, you're wondering what's going on upstairs. Because he gave us a glimpse into that last year during the postseason, and the hard part about it was, I mean, people may forget that one that he blew, they came back and won. They won that game. And the Guardians are on cloud 9, and he's their miserable first one out of the clubhouse. Like, yeah. I understand it. I get it. it's got to be tough. Like, you're supposed to be the unstoppable force. Like, you're supposed to be the one that can't be messed with. You're
talking about the game they won, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, you know how else that sounds like? The guy who wouldn't talk to the media in a game they won and didn't have the performance that he wanted. That was a whole Baker Mayfield thing for like 3 weeks right there. I think it's very odd because I can't say he's doing poorly to the point of, like, you have to pull him out. I can't, because it's not that he's missing the zone. It's not where he looks like he's confident. To any degree, it looks like he's pressing. Like, we've seen plenty of closers over the course of Major League Baseball and the Guardians, because once they lose it, they lose it. So we've seen a lot of them lose it. And so you start to look for some of the telltale signs. I got to tell you guys, this one's different. This one's different, because it's exactly what Owen just mentioned. The velocity's still there, still throwing hard stuff, and he's still putting the ball over the plate. So it's not like he can't throw a strike and walking guys on, and then he loses his confidence and he has to groove one over the plate and he ends up getting battered around. He's just getting battered around from the very beginning. And so I go back to Carl Willis saying, okay, throw your slider more. It can't all just be cut fastballs. Wheels on the road. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. So I'd give him two or three more outings. I mean, he's got one more year of arbitration, and we got 2 years of club option after that. And I'd give the job to Cade Smith. I mean, he gets 2 years younger. I think he's got a lot more in the tank. I honestly think Class A got figured out in the playoffs last year, and it's a mental thing. Maybe he needs to figure it out, be sent in the bullpen, and just not be a closer for right now.
Well, I think with closers, and I'm sure there's plenty of evidence to the contrary, so this is right off the top of my head, Wheels. I ain't gonna lie. It's not like I have a bunch of stats to back me up when I say this. I fear, though, that if you take a closer and take him out of a closer role, it's almost like, all right, how do I put him back in a closer role? Because I have to have confidence in that.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I have to have confidence in him to put him out there. And so once I've proven, it's always the arguments, and Wheels, thank you very much for the call. Like, when guys get close to blowing a game and you want to pull them out there, it's like you kind of got to let them blow a game. There's guys who are rocky and they don't blow it, and it's to the point where you still have to let them blow the save, because if you don't let them blow, and I know it sucks because it's like, well, you don't want to go out there and just lose. Well, yeah, but I still have to play the long game with the guy. So if he loads them up and there's one out, I still got to let him see if he can force either to strike two guys out or strike the next guy out and get a ground out or a pop out, whatever, or if he can force a double play. I still have to give him that opportunity, because if I pull him out there now, I'm telling the whole world that I'm losing confidence in him. And maybe Emmanuel Clase is a guy that I still don't need to lose a ton of confidence in, because the velocity's there, the location is there. He's just locating at the wrong spots and guys are hitting it.
Yeah, well, just to think about, like, Cade Smith. Cade Smith's been virtually unhittable, obviously, this year. I looked it up.
Well, we always want to go with the hot hand. Now, I think that he could be a closer for you, but I think that's a job that Andrew Walters will eventually take, who's down on the farm.
Yeah, well, he's faced 31 batters so far this year and only given up 3 hits. So it's been really, really good. But what a departure, right? Like, somebody who throws, you know, into the 101s, down to somebody whose fastball is at, what, 96?
Yes.
Like, it's a big difference. You know, we expect closers to be able to, you know, get up into the red numbers. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I see no reason to have to, like, panic today. But come and talk to me if he blows, you know, 3 of the next 4. And, well, you know, we're looking up. We're in 3rd, 4th place in the division.
Yes, the conversation in earnest begins, because what Wheel said about his contract is true. I mean, that contract, I think he's due 4.9 this year, and I think he's due 6.5 next year. So you take a guy like that, that's a closer's contract. You don't want to just give up on that right now and then send him to the bullpen. And I think the next 2 years are buyouts of $2 million and $1 million after that. This is because I looked it up yesterday, so I can remember off the top of my head, because they're supposed to be $10 million each. Well, I don't think he's going to get to that contract regardless, because of who they have in the farm system now. And I just don't think they want to have a closer that they're going to pay $10 million each over the next 3-4 years, where closers usually don't go 5 years with a baseball team. So I think you want to take that guy and eventually be able to naturally move him up. But that means part of the natural process of that is that he blows saves. And so what do I do with that guy after he starts to blow saves? I have to wait for him to blow saves to be able to have that conversation. If he's still not blowing saves, and I know they're ugly and they're not what they used to be, if he's still not blowing saves, I can't have that conversation yet. So I have to wait for him to go out there. Eventually, I hate to say it, I think we will get to this point. I think we will come in the morning at some day and have a conversation about his future at 6 a.m. But I don't think we're at that spot right now. Do the Guardians play entertaining baseball to you? Because I don't know any better. Because according to ESPN, they don't. They did a ranking of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball with the Watchability Index. Ranking the most fun teams to watch is what they have. And in the index, you can jump right to the Cleveland Guardians. The Guardians are listed at 24th in terms of watchability. They have a point score going up to 30. Star power, young talent, base running, defense, the minutia is what they call it. Whatever minutia is, they try to explain it. Ballpark, uniforms, mascots, unintentional comedy, broadcasters, colorful characters, fun factors that might make you want to tune in to watch this team.
Unintentional comedy. Did we get a big blow by losing Josh Naylor? Was there some unintentional comedy
there? Do we
have
to show more of the hot dog races?
No.
I'm serious.
I'd like to see how they categorize what that means in terms of baseball teams.
They did get two bonus points from ESPN. One for spicy stadium mustard, so I think that's part of the minutia. The other point is for the longest World Series title drought, which isn't necessarily a reason to tune in, but still. Star power, they got a 4. Young talent, they got a 4. Not bad. Base running, they got a 2. Defense, they got a 2.5. Minutia, they got a 1. They wrote, Stephen Kwan is entertaining. He's a scrappy player who puts the ball in play and covers everything in left field. Manzardo, Rocchio, Junkenzie, Big Christmas, Noel fit into the young category, but the more intriguing young players as prospects, Bazana and outfielder Chase DeLauder, two guys we could see in the second half. DeLauder will have to bounce back quickly from a core muscle surgery in March, in parentheses, is what they wrote. Because for a second, when they write DeLauder, I think a lot of people roll your eyes and go, do you actually watch the Guardians here, or did you just throw his name out there as far as a guy that's needed? Because I don't think that you're... Hopefully I get to see something of him, but I don't think anybody's expecting anything out of him right now. I bring this up because I did happen to go to where Arizona is. You're going to hate this. Arizona's ranked 10th in watchability. Minutia, they have 3. Josh Naylor is a fun player and even leads Carroll in stolen bases 4-1. Josh Naylor is mentioned right here.
So we're paying the Naylor tax by losing him.
I always thought winning baseball was fine, but I don't watch a lot of other teams. Like, in all honesty, if I'm scrolling around on a TBS broadcast before the Guardians play, I guess I'll find something and I'll just leave it on. If it's the Brewers or anything like that. But if I'm watching baseball, I'm watching the Guardians because eventually I'm going to get a sample of all these other teams now with the new schedule. So if I'm watching the Guardians, I'm going to eventually see all these other teams. And plus, it's kind of, I know they're on TBS tonight, but I think it's kind of hard to find some of these other broadcasts now unless you really go looking for them. Do I really need to go looking for them if I want to watch the Guardians play?
What's interesting is a year ago, for once, we were actually a team that hit home runs. I think we were 12th in the bigs in home runs. We were 5th in stolen bases. So what's not entertaining about a team that does that? Like that, and that's why attendance went up last year.
Teams that hit home runs are fun.
Local ratings were big time last year. I think among top 8, I think, in baseball. So there was definitely an enthusiasm about the team. Then we have the offseason that obviously we have to talk about every year about how much our offseason suck in baseball. We also say that 26 other teams' fan bases think the offseason suck there too, but it particularly stings for us because we were good last year. And, you know, in sports, what do we always talk about when we're good, when we have a good team? What are we doing that next offseason? All in. All we always say is, should we go all in? Yes, we should go all in. Just a bunch of calls saying, yeah, we should go all in. Yeah, fans always want to go all in every single year. Baseball, it's just not set up that way. We're not going to spend that way. We are certainly not going to throw enough money in to ever be considered all in. Not since, 2017? Which I think you could say we were all in 2017. That's it. It's just not happening. And not especially after we lost $40 million in TV revenue a year with the new regional setup. So, this team before last year, we won. We always won under Tito. Were we entertaining? Probably not to the average fan because it was built on pitching. How many people are going to the ballpark to see relief pitching? How many people are going out
to the
ballpark?
They mention the bullpen in this. They go, you live by, you die by. In this article about the Guardians, they mention the bullpen.
They
write the equivalent of you making that face.
Which sucks. It sucks because, we could be a worse team every year and have boppers all over the place. yeah, you might be more entertained on a given day that you go buy tickets to a game, but you're going to lose.
But I feel
most likely because that's not the way the Guardians are going to do business.
You could also get the game where five of the guys strike out three.
But
times
this is
see a lot of that.
This is where this doesn't count for me because they're top five. They got the Dodgers, they got the Red Sox, they got the Phillies, they got the Cubs, and they got the Padres. Okay, I've seen the Padres. I agree with you on the Padres. I can agree on the Dodgers. The Red Sox, I haven't seen the Red Sox play yet this year. I'm paying attention to the Guardians. I don't know any better because I don't watch anybody else other than the Guardians and who they play. I'm pretty entertained by winning baseball. I'm pretty entertained by Stephen Kwan, which he mentioned Stephen Kwan. Big Christmas has a good name. I like a good young manager in Stephen Vogt. I think the broadcast on television, I will admit, I think has got more fun over time. I think that that's been a hoot. So I don't think that I wonder what other teams have other than big name stars, and we still have Jose, but big name, big ticket stars. Like, yeah, I can't compete necessarily with Shohei Ohtani and what the Dodgers have or what the Yankees have as far as star power. And now that they got Juan Soto, have to admit even what the Mets have. Certainly not. But if I don't know any better about the other teams, then what does it really even matter? Like, there's definitely, we watch all of the NFL. There's plenty of teams we'd rather watch other than some of the other teams. The NBA, I think it's the same way with baseball. I don't know what I'm missing with some of these other clubs. So I really don't care.